بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we are moving on to a new section. It's still the names of Allah, but now, since we have finished all of the names of Allah that are in the Quran, now we're only going to finish off with the names of Allah that are found in the authentic statements, sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we're going to begin, inshallah ta'ala, with the name of Allah, Al-Jameel. Al-Jameel can be translated as the most beautiful, the source of beauty, different ways you can translate it. Coming from the root verb actually has two different meanings. The root verb coming from jamala yajmulu jamdan fahuwa jamilun, which means to summarize, to sum up, to bring together, to unify, to unite, to or even to melt or to dissolve something. Versus, I guess when you melt something, it all puddles together. That's why it's like bringing it together. I don't know, a lot of them. Anyway, and the other verb is what? Jamula yajmulu jamalan, which means to be beautiful, graceful, and suitable. So then the question is, okay, I understand the beauty part. Why is it that the root letters of jim, mim, and lam both connect to these two different ideas, one being beauty-oriented and one being unified-oriented? And Allah knows, but it seems to be the correlation between these two concepts is that you consider something beautiful when that thing is unifying or uniting several attributes in such a harmonious fashion that you identified as beautiful. You know, when somebody's put together so well that, you know, everything is put together perfectly, you're just like, wow, that's just gorgeous, beautiful, right? And same thing with artwork, same thing with an amazing scene. You know, it's when all the different parts come together just the right way, you call that thing beautiful. So you can see the connection between these two root verbs. Now, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jameel, is found in the hadith in which the Prophet says what? لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. That the person who has even the mustard seed of weight, even just like an atom's weight, you could say a tiny little amount of weight of kibr or pride in his heart, this person will not enter paradise. And then somebody said in response, the قال الرجل, and a man said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنَةً. He's sort of objecting here, saying, but everybody, any person loves it that his dress should look good and that his shoes look good. I mean, is that a bad thing? So he's wondering. And the Prophet responds and says what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلُ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Indeed, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. الْكِبْرُ بَطَرُ الْحَقْ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. Rather, pride is to reject the truth and to have contempt for people. So, to want to look good is not the problem. To want to look good and put others down and say, I look better than you, now we start to get towards a problem. So, no, there's nothing wrong with beautifying oneself. Now, with regards to, so that's where you find not only this lesson, but also the name of Allah, in Allah Jameel. Allah is Jameel. So, this is now one of the names of Allah, Al-Jameel. Now, when it comes to Allah's Jamal, or Allah's beauty, you can say there are four types. Jamalu that, Jamalul Asma, Jamalul Sifat, Jamalul Al-Fi'al, which means the beauty of his self or essence. Allah Ta'ala is beautiful in and of himself. The beauty of his names, the beauty of his qualities, or you can say attributes, and then finally, the beauty of his actions. So let's go through all four of these categories, inshallah ta'ala. What do we mean by Jamalul That, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala's self or his essence? What are we talking about? Allah's beauty is why Musa alayhi salam asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah's beauty if Allah's beauty exposed to the mountain was overwhelming, then what about Allah's beauty in and of itself? So think about that, subhanAllah. I mean, if it's so overwhelming, then imagine how incredibly beautiful Allah Ta'ala is. You cannot, it's beyond our comprehension. We know Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 143, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. So when Musa alayhi salam arrived at our appointed time and his Lord spoke to him, he said, my Lord, show me yourself that I may look at you. Allah said, you will not see me, but look at the mountain. If it should remain in place, then you will see me. But when his Lord appeared to the mountain, he rendered it level and Moses fell unconscious. And when he awoke, he said, exalted are you. I have repented to you. I am the first of the believers. So he made tawbah for, you could say, overstepping his bounds. Allah knows best. What is beautiful, what is remarkable, in fact, just as a side point here, the fact that Musa alayhi salam was one of the few people to speak directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had reached such a high status, and then he said, Ya Allah, I want to go even higher in status. I want to see you. I want that as well. It just goes to show that, subhanAllah, if we really want to follow the example of Musa alayhi salam, never stop striving for higher and higher goals. SubhanAllah, no matter how high you get, you can always keep going, inshallah. Anyhow, moving along, there's a hadith in which the Prophet says what? describing Allah, he says, hijabuhu nur, that his veil, or you could say his partition, the thing that is blocking us from seeing Allah Ta'ala, is what? It's light. And then Allah, and then the Prophet says, what? لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَا إِنْتَهَا إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. That the Prophet says, if he were to withdraw this boundary, if he were to withdraw this veil, the splendor of his countenance or of his face would consume his creation so far as his sight reaches. So subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is hidden away from us. But of course, inshallah ta'ala, this does not remain forever. Why? Because there is evidence that the believers will look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the afterlife. In this life, we can't handle it. In the afterlife, we know that Allah says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. For those who have done good is the best of reward and extra. And if we look to the interpretation and explanation of this ayah, the best of reward is paradise, and the extra ziyada is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the ayah, وَجُهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَ إِلَى رَبِّهَا وَجُهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that there will be faces that day that will be beaming with light towards their Lord. They will be نَاظِرَ, staring and looking at their Lord. So yes, we will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on يوم القيامة بإذن الله تعالى. Furthermore, the Prophet says what? فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. In paradise, Allah Ta'ala will remove this veil, this partition. فَمَا أُعْتُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظْرِ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That when Allah Ta'ala will lift this partition or this veil, of all the things given to the believers in paradise, nothing would be dearer to them than the sight of their Lord, the Most Mighty and the Most Glorious. So this is the highest of rewards. And furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ used to make the dua, وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَةَ النَّظْرِ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ. And I ask you for the sweetness of looking upon your face. There's a hadith mentioned in Sunan An-Nasa'i. It's a authentic, it's a Hasan hadith. Now, that's part one. We said Jamalul Dhat, right? The beauty of his essence. What about the beauty of his names? Jamalul Asma. That's the second category. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدِعُهُ بِهَا. Allah Ta'ala confirms. And to Allah belong the best and most beautiful of names, so invoke Him by them. So that means what? That all of Allah's names are beautiful. And therefore, the name of Allah, Al-Jamil, in a way, has a way of summarizing. That's funny too, because right, Jamala means to summarize or to unify, bring everything together, right? So subhanAllah, Al-Jamil, this name of Allah, is actually summarizing in its own way all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings all of them together because all of them are beautiful. And so Al-Jamil is this comprehensive name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number three was what? Jamal al-Sifat, the beauty of his qualities. This is recognizing the quality of Allah ta'ala and appreciating how beautiful it is, something that only is felt by the believer when he has that sense of sweetness of iman. And this is described by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who says what? Inna fid dunya jannatun man lam yadkhulha لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ الْآخِرَةَ. Indeed, this world has a paradise, and whoever doesn't enter it won't enter the paradise of the hereafter. Now, he's not speaking literally, he's speaking figuratively. What he's saying is that knowing Allah and loving Allah, ma'rifatullah, and loving His book and loving His messenger and loving the believers, this gives a person a special type of happiness and contentment, that if you do not experience that joy in this life, then you will not enter paradise in the afterlife. Why? Because you don't have true iman. And point number four is what? Jamalul fi'al, the beauty of his actions. The actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also beautiful. Why? Because Allah ta'ala says, سُنَّ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah ta'ala says, it is the work of Allah who perfected all things. أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah ta'ala perfects whatever He does. Furthermore, Allah says, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. Allah is the one who perfected everything which He created. All of Allah's actions are beautiful, therefore Al-Jamil has a way of also summarizing, right, Jamala, to bring together, to summarize, has a way of summarizing everything that Allah has done. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Jamil, so this summarizes who He is, all of His names, and everything that Allah has done, because everything Allah has done has its own beauty to it. Allah is the one who gives beauty to whoever and whatever He wishes, whether it be the sky, as Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. We have certainly beautified the nearest heaven with stars. Allah can beautify whatever He wishes, because He is Al-Jamil, and He can make things beautiful. Beautifying the earth, as Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. Indeed, we have made that which is on the earth adornment for it. Whatever is on the earth, we have used to beautify this earth. We know that Allah Ta'ala can beautify people. And subhanAllah, the most beautiful of which is Yusuf alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. That when these women saw him, they greatly admired him and cut their hands and said, perfect is Allah. This is not a man, this is none but a noble angel. This is, subhanAllah, them seeing such a beautiful, handsome person. They were completely shocked by it. And this is something that Allah Ta'ala can give to people in different quantities and amounts, beauty. And even Allah Ta'ala gives beauty to animals, as Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And for you, in them, in your livestock, so in the animals that you, you know, pasture and so forth, is enjoyment of beauty. You get to enjoy the beauty of working with these animals and staring at them and appreciating these beautiful animals that you benefit from. When you bring them in from the evening and when you send them out to pasture. SubhanAllah, there's something beautiful about nature. So now, how does this name of Allah Ta'ala, Al-Jameel, affect us? How does it affect the believer? One, you want to pray consistently. Why? Specifically, the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer, things that sometimes people struggle with. As the Prophet ﷺ says, what? فَإِنْ إِسْتَطَاعَتُمْ أَنْ لَا تَغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفْعَلُوا. So if you can avoid missing the prayer before the sunrise, Fajr, and the prayer before sunset, Asr, you must do so. And recite the statement of your Lord and celebrate the praises of your Lord before the rising of the sun and its setting. So yes, why? Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us that you will indeed, the beginning of this hadith is what? We were with the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرِ. You will see your Lord just like you see this moon. The Prophet ﷺ is promising, Sahih Bukhari. You're going to see your Lord as you see this moon. And then he says, so therefore, if you're able to, make sure you stick to your prayers. SubhanAllah, very, very interesting hadith. Furthermore, you want to avoid certain sins that will make you banned from seeing your Lord. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. There are three people who Allah will not speak to them, nor will He look at them, nor will He absolve them in any way, and they will have a painful punishment. Who are they? And Abu Dharr, he said, oh my goodness, what an incredible failure and loss that these people have. Who are these people? مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the Prophet says what? المسبل المنان المنفق لسلعته بالحلف الكاذب. They are three people. They are the one who they drag their clothes, walking around dragging their clothes. Number two, the person who is constantly reminding other people of their favors. Remember that time I did this for you? Remember that time I did this? Remember that time I did this for you? Oh, you remember, right? And number three is what? The one who sells something based on a false oath. No, I swear it works, man. I'm telling you it's good. You should just buy it. Just trust me. And then they sell it, and then it breaks down and doesn't work. It's garbage. So these three people, and there's another hadith that mentions similar wording. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There are three people that Allah will not talk to, and in some narrations they won't look at them as well. And this is who? Shaykhun Zanin. وَمَلِكٌ كَذَّابٌ وَعَائِلٌ مُسْتَكْبِرٌ. Which is the old person who is still an adulterer, the king who is a liar, and the person who is proud and poor. And the idea is, each of these circumstances are supposed to reduce your desire to do that thing, right? So in other words, as you get older, you're not supposed to be overrun by your sexual desires. And the fact that you're old and you're still being overrun by it, that's just awful. Number two is, the more powerful you are, the less reason you have to lie, right? It's weak people. It's people in a bad position that have to like lie to get by in life. But if you're in a powerful position, you should have no reason to lie. You should just tell like it is. But if you are a liar king, it's the worst. And then number three is what? The person who has kibr, he's arrogant, but he's also broke. It's like, look, man, if you're rich and you're arrogant, that's a problem. That's really bad. You have to still be humble even if you're rich. But it should be a lot easier to be humble as you become broke. Right, so now you've hit rock bottom, you're completely broke, and you're still arrogant. So subhanAllah, in all three cases, these people are not even going to be looked at, not going to be spoken to in any way on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So we also need to remind ourselves that if we want to be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to avoid having rust on our hearts. That means we want to repent regularly and try to avoid the diseases of the heart. Allah Ta'ala says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. No, rather, the stain has covered their hearts of that which they have earned. No, indeed, for from their Lord on that day they will be partitioned. So the people that have their hearts encrusted with sin, every time they do a sin, they don't repent. They just do another sin. It keeps on putting these stains on their hearts until it becomes completely crusted over. They don't repent. They don't polish themselves. They don't try to refine their heart. They don't try to fight against the diseases of the heart. They just embrace evil. They have this crust over their hearts. The light of Allah will not come in. Therefore, when they go on judgment day, they will be partitioned. You don't want to be that person. The opposite is what? Repent regularly. Work on yourself, get rid of the disease of the heart as best you can, and inshallah ta'ala, you will not be partitioned. In fact, you will see Allah on judgment day. Be a beautiful person. Furthermore, maintain beautiful relationships. One of the seven people shaded on judgment day are who? وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَا فِي اللَّهِ. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah, these two people will be shaded on judgment day. So have beautiful relationships. Love people, and that's going to make you beautiful. Have beautiful thoughts and internal feelings. Dress up beautiful. Smell beautiful. Behave beautifully. Ya bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. Allah says, O children of Adam, speaking to all of mankind, we have bestowed upon you clothing to conceal your private parts and as adornment. Yes, look good. Dress well. Why not? More specifically, Allah says what? Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O children of Adam, take your adornments at every masjid. So don't just look good in general, look really good on when you go to the masjid. And even better on Yawm al-Jum'ah. It just so happens that today is Jum'ah, by the way. But anyway, I'm saying when I'm recording this, not when you're watching this. Tayyib, inshallah. So, believers will be dressed beautifully in paradise. Allah Ta'ala says, what? وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. And the reward for them will be what? For what they have patiently endured will be gardens of paradise and silk garments. Allah Ta'ala says that the believers in paradise will be dressed beautifully. We should speak beautifully. As Allah says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ لَتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Tell my servants to say that which is best. Say which is that which is most beautiful. Always work on your speech so that you try to word things in the best way possible, in the clearest manner, in the least offensive, in the most compelling, etc. The Prophet ﷺ says what? لَا يَقُولَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ خَبُثَتْ نَفْسِي وَلَكِنْ لِيَقُلْ لَقِسَتْ نَفْسِي. None of you should say, It's an expression which technically means I'm disgusting, or I'm so disgusted with myself. Like, none of you should say it that way. Rather, instead of saying khabuthat nafsi, switch it and say what? Laqisat nafsi. It means the same thing. Man, I'm so annoyed with myself. I'm so frustrated. Man, I'm disgusted with myself. But the difference is what? The word khabith is mentioned in the Quran associated with disbelief. So use another word that's synonymous. So you can say like, oh man, I'm so annoyed with myself, but just don't use a word that is associated with something negative. Why? That is part of the excellence of purifying your language so that you don't ever say about yourself something that is related to the people of hellfire. And you can see in many different of the Sahaba, they would have these instances like Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was once approaching a group of people and he saw in the distance, there's a bunch of people around fire. He didn't know who they were. So he says, As-salamu alaykum ya ashab al-dawt. He says, peace be upon you, O people of the light. Ashab al-dhaw, people around the light. And then it says, وَكَرِهَا أَن يَقُولْ يَا أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. He disliked, he didn't want to say, oh people around the fire, because ashab al-nar means companions of the fire. It's an expression that implies what? People of hellfire. But he's inclined to say, hey, people around the fire, you know. But then he realizes that might be taken in a bad way. So he says, ashab al-dhaw, instead of ashab al-nar. So subhanAllah, this is part of, I could have said it one way, but I think I'll say it in a little bit of a nicer way, just so nobody takes it badly. It makes more sense when you understand Arabic. If you don't, it might be a little bit harder to comprehend. But the idea is, even in English, there are expressions that you could say, that can be taken badly. Let me say it a different way. Even the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Abbas, this is such a beautiful statement. He was once asked, "Anta akbar am Rasulullah?" Who's bigger? So the guy's asking who's older, right? And he's talking to his uncle, so obviously the uncle is older, right? But the way he said akbar, which can be understood as older than, but it can also be like greater than. So look at, instead of saying ana akbar, I'm older than him, but it could also mean I'm better than him, I'm greater than him. So since it could be interpreted that way, even though it shouldn't be because the context is very clear, he still says what? Huwa akbar minni wa ana walidtu qablahu. Subhanallah. Look at the wording. He says subhanallah. He says he's greater than me, but I was born before him. That's beautiful. That's amazing. He's his uncle, but he says, well, he's greater than me. Hu akbar minni. He's greater than me, but I was born before him. So I'm technically older, subhanAllah. Just really goes to show the attention to beautiful words. So we should need to focus on inner beauty. Of course, work on your iman, as the Prophet says, what? Inna Allah la yanzuru ila ajsadikum, wala ila suwarikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum. That Allah does not look at your bodies nor your faces, but He looks at your hearts. That's the most important thing. Of course, illa man ata Allah biqalbin salim, the person who comes with a sound heart. That's what matters on Judgment Day. Furthermore, qila li rasul, that was said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, what? Which of the people is best? Ayyun nasi afdal? Qala kullu makhmum alqalbi saduq al-lisan. Qalu saduq al-lisan na'rifu. So he says two terms. He says makhmum alqalb, which they're not really sure of, and then saduq al-lisan, which means truthful in speech. So they say, look, we understand the whole saduq al-lisan. I understand what you mean by truthful in speech, but what is this makhmum alqalb? What do you mean by that? Faqal, so he says in response, huwa at-taqi an-naqi la ithma fihi wala baghya wala ghilla wala hasad. He says, the Prophet says, it is the heart that is pious and pure, it's clean, with no sin, no injustice, no rancor, no envy, hatred. So he's listing these diseases of the heart, saying, you want to know who the best of people are, remove the disease of their heart, become a beautiful person. Taqi and naqi, God conscious and pure, clean. The Prophet says what? تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ. A woman is married for four reasons. لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. She could be married for her property, for her status, for her beauty, or for her religion. People have different motivations why they marry a girl. But then the Prophet gives his advice and says what? فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. So try to get the one who is religious, focus on deen. And then تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ can be understood in different ways. Literally, it's like, may your hands be covered in dust. And so that's confusing in English. But wallahu alam, maybe the easiest way to explain it is like, get your hands dirty, meaning like, get to work. Like, the best one, get the girl who's religious, now get to work, you know? Get in there, get your hands dirty, go to work, work hard. In other words, young men, work hard, make something of yourself so you can get a good girl, right? So you have options, so you can pick the best wife, inshallah ta'ala. That seems to be the statement. Tarbat yadak. Work hard, get your hands dirty, and inshallah ta'ala you'll get the best girl. And furthermore, the Prophet would make the dua when he would look into his own reflection. He would say the dua, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, just as you have beautified my body, beautify my character as well. This is a very important dua, especially if you're at the gym. Why? For two reasons. One, because when you're at the gym, you're working on your body. There's nothing wrong with that. So in fact, it's a good thing. But sometimes people can change their intentions and become narcissistic. They're looking at themselves, looking at their big muscles, and they become narcissistic. Plus, there's mirrors everywhere. In every gym, you'll find mirrors everywhere. So imagine if you memorize this dua and you say it every time you look at yourself in the gym. You're there working out and you say, oh Allah, I'm so grateful for this body that you've given me. I'm getting stronger, healthier, and I'm grateful for it. Just as you have beautified my body, beautify my character. Just as the outside is beautiful, beautify my inside. This is, inshallah ta'ala, a beautiful dua to conclude with. May Allah ta'ala make us all of people who are beautiful inside and out. Barakallahu fikum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.